Welcome to every one of our perspectives from the top community of listeners around the world to Reflections on the Top. And through your support and sharing with friends, we are around the world, as Reflections and Perspectives are now being listened to in 46 countries. Now, Reflections is to help you get the best from the series by me reviewing the key insights from our last guest. That was Amanda Russell, whose career started in sport as a runner, where she achieved Olympic level performance, developing her own brand, then working to found one of the first global digital fitness subscription channels on YouTube, subsequently helping other businesses build their brands via a digital production company. The expertise she developed doing that and becoming an expert in influence, as well as having been an influencer, enabled her to help others seeking insight into this critical area. And she's now a professor of marketing at both Northwestern and Texas, a Harvard case study author on the advisory board of Lamborghini, a woman's leadership activist, and the author of the best-selling book, The Influencer Code. The really interesting thing about Amanda's interview is that she comes with such a broad insight and experience as an athlete, an entrepreneur, an advisor to corporates, and as an academic leader in her field. But despite of all that variety, there is a common thread that runs through which relates to influence. Influence that you have on yourself and influence that you have with others. Early experiences of the hard work that it takes to achieve sporting excellence provided a foundation for her success over the rest of her career. Just the simple principle that you need to have a clear goal, you need to have what it takes in terms of capability, or the ability to develop the capability, and the determination to make it happen. And within the tough world of competitive athletics, that determination has to take the form of total focus, which sets aside almost everything else. For example, as Amanda said, effectively having little or no social life compared to her friends who are out enjoying themselves. But interestingly, Amanda also said that whilst this can help you successfully achieve your goal, there is a price, and the total focus required does have potentially a negative impact on other things, including the effect that you are demanding anybody you interact with also signs up to your goal to some degree. This high level of athletic achievement then proved to be a moneymaker when Amanda was studying her MBA. She set up a tough fitness class for people in Central Park in New York, which, because of their focused nature, attracted a loyal following. Then, as a marketing MBA, a chance meeting with a friend who introduced her to YouTube, that was very new at that time, she realized there was an opportunity to create something that would add value via creating a YouTube fitness channel, one of the very first. Now, the channel built its own momentum, adding lifestyle as well as fitness elements. Amanda had become an influencer, but for her, this wasn't about influence more than providing just social media content. As she says, influence is not a job, it's an action to deliver an outcome. Amanda's success then led on to a partnership with a media company which became one of the top suppliers for creating fitness content for major platforms during the growth of fitness as a key part of their offering for readers or viewers. The success of this presented Amanda with then the same fundamental question which she had at critical points in her athletics career, which was, you need to make a decision whether you are going to go all in on this or not. And if you are going to go all in, you need to realize the downsides as well as the upsides. Now, Amanda took the decision that what interested her and where she was happy was not in front of the camera, but in developing her understanding and the impact in relation to influence, which then became her focus moving into academia and becoming a professor of marketing. But this is a decision that all of us regularly make. When we are considering a course of action, be that within the work environment or more broadly in our personal lives, or a combination of the two, where, for example, we are undergoing something at work that will have a significant impact on our personal lives and therefore those around us. It goes back to the earlier point of what are we seeking to achieve? What is the level of focus that is required to be successful? And what that level requires from us? And how does it impact on others around us? This aligns exactly with what Marshall Goldsmith said when we talked about leaders getting lost in ambition. So for you listeners out there, it's really understanding that the assumption that ambition is great and that it gets you to where you want to be isn't the end of the story. In the real world, that's a simplification of the work involved in getting there, the potential ripple effects of being totally focused on your goal, and also those two little questions that Marshall and I discussed about when you get there, will you be happy? And what happens next? So Amanda's passion became the understanding of how influence works and how to be good at it. That in all her previous experience came through to ask the fundamental question, how do you get people on board to help you to achieve your next step? The simple recognition that you cannot do everything yourself. You don't know everything yourself. So it's essential that once you've identified your goal, you also need to identify the people you need to help you to get there. But that's only the first step. Getting to the second step is answering the simple question, why should they help you? Now, this isn't just a question about careers, goals, creating strategic business ventures. It underpins what's happening with every one of you out there as a leader. The question, why should your people do what you want and give their best? What's in it for them? Equally, everybody listening should think about this in relation to everything you do where you potentially need another person to do something for you. I'm reminded even about a recent conversation with a friend about how they could get their young children to behave well, and their comment that even at such a young age, their children asked the what's in it for me question. Now this leads to Amanda's underpinning principle around the influence, that it's about partnership. It's about both parties achieving purpose together. So you get to where you want to be, they get to where they want to be. So the influence you utilize is the action to create this relationship given who you are trying to influence. Now, this could be via any channel, from an article to a video, a tweet, a conversation, or anything else that connects you with the other person or organization. But before you do the influencing, you need to identify who you need to help you achieve your goal. You also need to observe them so that you can understand in depth what they would want by working in partnership with you. Now, once you're clear on that, then to influence in a way that resonates with them so that they connect positively to build your partnership. Maybe it's just those simple steps of what's your goal, who can help you get there, observe them to discover how you can help them to achieve what they want to achieve, create your optimum channel to influence, and then do so in a way that resonates with them to get the positive response you want. Organizations, leaders, all of us would have easier lives if we were more effective at influencing. Hence the value of what Amanda is saying. One point that Amanda made that was really interesting is the comment that good brands and good leaders make people feel good, but great brands and leaders make people feel good about themselves. Now that's an interesting difference, and if I reflect on when I ask leaders about what the best boss they ever had did in their career and what made them so special, it's interesting that the replies always seem to focus in on actions which made the individuals feel good about themselves. That the investment that they have put into doing what you have asked them to do has been reciprocated by your positive influence on them. So it's really about thinking more carefully about what your goals are as a leader or as an organization, what it's going to take to achieve them, who you need to help you get there. As an organization, it's clearly about your key stakeholders, your employees, your investors, your suppliers, your customers, and how you can influence them to join you in that common purpose where you both benefit. To be successful in that, it's changing how you think and communicate with others. Amanda's simple point about the importance of asking quality questions of your audience, whoever it is you're seeking to influence, to understand them better. In so doing, you show that you're genuinely interested in them. It's about consistent engagement and constant dialogue, not just at a surface level. It's seeking to build genuine understanding ensuring a constant intersection between you and what you want to do and them and what they want to do. Amanda's point was very interesting, that to be truly successful, brands don't need us to buy from them. They need us to buy into them. Now, that's just as much an emotional as a rational action, and perhaps more emotional than rational. And what Amanda and I agree is that a good proportion of what we do is done for emotional reasons, perhaps more than rational ones. We say it's rational, but we're very good as human beings at rationalizing what we did post-event and emotionally driven to justify it. That, interestingly, is also the argument that Marshall made about why even chief executives do stupid things and then are able to rationalize them. And it's also the point that I've mentioned before, that emotional responses are not unpredictable and inconsistent, because neuroscience allows us to understand that given a set of actions by somebody else, either positive or negative, we can predict what are the responses we are likely to give, even though they're defined as emotional. We also discussed that interesting debate that many listeners will know we often have with guests, which is there a difference between the entrepreneur and the corporate leader? Can entrepreneurs become good leaders? On this, my view and Amanda's concur with many other guests who've either been entrepreneurs or people who've invested in entrepreneurs or both. Going back to Amanda's athletics mindset, that the entrepreneurs have a singular goal, a drive to succeed and a determination to do so, often irrespective of what other people say. Now, at startup, those are the qualities which get things moving. But as the organization starts to grow, the entrepreneur has to start to change into being a leader, because in that new environment, determination only to do things your way because you know best can become a risk to the organization's ability to scale. As Amanda said, the fundamental question is, are you aware when you need to change? To be honest, that's the fundamental question from my perspective, not just for entrepreneurs, but for any leaders in any dynamic environment. Things are constantly changing around you, and whilst what you may have been doing in the past might have been perfect for that environment, is it right for the current environment? If I was asked what is one of the critical elements that I think makes a difference between people who are successful and those who aren't, is quite simply being self-aware so that you can pick up when you need to change. In terms of moving from entrepreneur to leader, Amanda made the comment that leadership can be learned. That's my view as well. It's supported by the evidence. And if it wasn't true, why do people get better when they attend leadership development programs? But just in case some of you out there might still be hearing the idea that leaders are born and not made, it's not true. In fact, one of the first people to say that leaders could be developed was way back in 1948, General Montgomery, one of the top British generals of World War II. So quite why we still have people talking of born leaders at the exclusion of developed leaders in 2020, one, two, and on, escapes me. Amanda's insight based on her career are really interesting. That to be successful, leaders need the athlete's mindset of a clear goal and the determination to succeed come what may. But the reality is that to achieve the goal, we need to work in partnership using influence to help others help us. Now, that's an interesting balance from my perspective, because the more you focus on achieving the goal and ignore other people, then you're not going to have the support you need. But equally, if you're always listening to what other people are telling you, then you can get distracted from your goal. Now, where I've seen people being most successful is to be determined to achieve your goal, but to do so in a way that allows you to positively influence the critical people you need to help you get there. For those of you who are regular listeners, you will identify straight away that we're back to my we, not me culture, and why that works almost in everywhere. So Amanda has pulled all of this together in her book, The Influencer Code, which I think that most people will assume is perhaps only for marketing people. But I believe it has relevance for anybody to understand better how they can be successful through influence in partnership with others. So what are the key points from what Amanda said? First, knowing your weaknesses and identifying where you need help. Second, as a leader, you need to give others the freedom to do what they do well. Third, above all, understand your people. Ask questions to help you understand how you can help them be better. Build that positive relationship. And, as Amanda said, the idea of compliment when due, console when support is needed, and congratulate on success. And perhaps I would add one final one linked to what Amanda said. Build self-awareness. But remembering to do so, you need input from others. It's not just about your view of yourself. Back to Amanda's idea of building resonance with other people. So it's just about asking those simple questions. How am I doing? How could I be better? How could I help you be better? What should I be doing more of? What should I be doing less of? Just simple questions that give you the opportunity to be better, whether you're a first-line manager, a team member, or someone in the C-suite. As with previous guests, and now Amanda, hopefully you're seeing this pattern of simple actions you can take to be more successful. So please do share these interviews with colleagues who would benefit so they can grow and develop with you. And certainly I'll be using these powerful points in my speaking and masterclasses in the future. If you've had any thoughts or questions, contact me and please connect on LinkedIn if you like. Don't forget to sign up to Perspectives from the Top. It's free, so you don't miss any more of the great episodes in the future. That's it for now. So from me, it's onwards and upwards until our next episode.